Well, we're blessed today to have Rachel Blevins with us. Rachel has been in ministry for over 40 years and really been in ministry longer than that, but served with her husband and her, served pastoring a church over in Fredericktown, and she has a wealth of wisdom and blessing to share with us that is helpful in the kingdom and helpful in life. So if we could stand and welcome her as she comes, and she's going to share with us today.
All right, we're good to go. Good morning, sheep. I hope you're hungry. First, let me just thank you for the invitation to speak life to you today. I always feel loved and welcomed and honored in this house, and I thank you for that. You people have been faithful. Let's just get this out of the way. To see me through some really hard seasons. I bless you for that. You've made a huge difference in my life. And because you've strengthened me, then I can strengthen others. And I can return some of that strength to you today. So, thank you. I love you too. I'm going to give you some practical things today about communication. Probably the first communication we ever have as a human being is in our mother's womb. We hear her voice. We hear other family voices. We hear sounds around us. And so we start responding. You know, early when a child is born, it will turn to hear the voice of its parents because it's already used to that. And I was in a beauty salon one day, and I don't know, it just struck me so miraculous. I watched two people come in and look at each other and open their mouths and start to speak. And I thought, you know, that really is a miracle. All this process has to go on. How am I going to respond to this person? I have a voice. I can use it for good. I can use it to ridicule. The tone of my voice makes a difference. So it was just, it was a marvel to me. You know, how two people can communicate. It's a gift. And God's mandate to us as believers is to go and tell. It's pretty basic. Go and tell. Tell what you know. Everyone can teach someone something. As soon as you learn, you can teach. You just share what you know. I remember one time I was in a panic because Dr. John had asked me to be on the ministry team one night, and I was freaking out. And I went to Lois before the service, and I said, Lois, he wants me to be on the team, and I just don't think I can do this. And she gave me a real basic answer. She says, Rachel, you hear from God. These people want to hear from God, so just tell them what you hear. Okay. And it worked. Yeah, it's that simple. In Colossians 4:6, it says, your speech should always be gracious and sprinkled with insight so that you may know how to respond to every person. Responding and reacting are two different things. So you want to respond to them in the way that they need to be responded to. And what I love so much about our Trinity, we're the only religion that has a Trinity. How cool is that? But we are addressed and communicated with as individuals. You know, if I'm Chinese, he's going to probably talk to me in Chinese. If I'm a Latino, he's going to speak to me in Espanol. You know, if you're a visual person, he may give you pictures. Or beauty is going to be something that really touches you. If you're a word person, you love language. And so he responds to us and addresses us in those ways. It's really quite basic. Proverbs 15:23 says, to give an appropriate answer is a joy, How good is a word at the right time? You ever been given a word at the right time and it made your day? Now, I had something happen recently from a Facebook post that just took my breath away. I post a lot of photos of nature, and a woman that I've never met in Missouri, she's married to my nephew, she responded to one of those. She happens to love nature. She lost a son from a heroin overdose, and her father in about a two-year span, and she's really struggled. And her note to me was, I look forward to your photos, because many a day, it's what has given me the light in life. That just blew me away. You know, so beauty can speak to people in ways that we cannot address them. Psalm 145:4 says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. We get to pass this down generation to generation to generation. You know, right now, my grandchildren have their great-grandmother. And what a blessing. You know, even in her dementia state, she still knows scripture. You can start a scripture and she can finish it. You start to sing a hymn and she can sing along, because that word is deposited in her. And she can pass that on. So we're passing it on. And then this is one of my favorites. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Isn't that beautiful? You know, when we were praying in the back earlier today, is it Jose? ¿Cómo se llama? Okay, Josué. He had a word picture that was just beautiful. He was praying for the spirit in the service, and he said, Lord, as the living water comes forth, let the hearts be like sponges to absorb that living water. Isn't that lovely? You know, that happened today. I love that. That can sustain a weary soul. So if we're commanded to go and tell, how do we do that effectively? I used to be really, really shy. And when I went to college, I mean, I had a wonderful childhood. I grew up in a beautiful bubble. And I went to Bible college and I met Joey Blevins. And he was one fine man. But he didn't grow up like I did. And one time we went to a restaurant and we met some of his buddies. And I was like, I don't know what to say to these people. I don't know their world. I'm not sure I want to know their world. And they thought I was very uppity and snobbish because I didn't know how to communicate with them. And I felt bad about that later. I had to grow a lot in that. And he never knew a stranger. And I was talking to Pastor Perry Friday night about, when did that change come in me? When I was no longer afraid and turned 50 shades of red when somebody asked me a question. It happened when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. My world changed because I quit looking at me and I got into their world. And the Holy Spirit gave me boldness to speak out. And then along the way, I started to work at hospice. And my job was to listen. I get paid to listen, basically. It was wonderful. But it's not simple. And part of communication is listening. It's a huge piece of it. We want answers now. You know, we talk to a little cylinder. I don't, but some people do. You know, ask Google and questions, and you get an instant answer. Well, yeah, that's fun. And it's easy. But it's not the real thing. Giving you eye contact and seeing you smile and the light in your eyes or the sadness in your eyes. So the Holy Spirit changed that. And I had to learn how to listen and respond. And there were times I would be with a family and You know, it was awkward. My job was to, I would go after the death in the family, and my job was to make a bereavement visit and to get them to talk. And do you know that you can get a level of trust very quickly? But you have to get into their world. I can't be worried about what I say. How do I look? How are they going to perceive this? Are they shy? Whatever. I mean, I sat in a lot of silence, waiting until they were comfortable. And then I remember visiting one gentleman, and he didn't say very much for about 10, 15 minutes. And then he just felt safe. I was there 2 hours. And he said, "Oh, my goodness, I can't believe I told you all that stuff." Because he felt safe. And you can create that environment. Pastor Paul Scanlon from England had a sermon that I listened to that I found fascinating. He said, "How interesting are you?" And he said, "You don't need church growth programs. You don't need all these bells and whistles. You need to be interesting and form relationships. That's how the body grows, developing relationships." I have two missionary families that I know in Jordan, and they say it's harder to talk to people in America about the gospel than it is in Jordan, which is a Muslim country. It's because they develop relationships. That's key. If they invite you to a meal, that means they want a relationship. But we're too busy. You know, we got stuff to do. And so we don't take the time to nurture those kind of things. So you develop interests. I have a sheet here that I'll leave if you want to make a copy of it, how to teach children to be interesting, how to tell a good story, which is very valuable. One of the things that is mentioned several times in there is to read books. You know, you read books. You learn things. Always be feeding your mind good things, stretching your mind. I love to read. And I like to read things that are going to make me think and make me grow. And then I can share those things with others. So it's not that hard. But, you know, I would go in some homes where the person had no outside interests. They had not developed community. And so they had a harder time. They didn't have that support. So developing interests, finding a common thread. You know, growing up, we moved a lot, and Joe and I moved a lot. I hated that. But it was one of the things that helped me most when I had to talk to people, because I had lots of threads to connect with other people. So it can be a real benefit, but you have to find those commonalities. We live in a self-centered society. You know, the selfie. Please. Okay, I know you're beautiful. You don't need to be told you're beautiful 100 times every day. You know, it's just that surface level that we have to go beyond that. And I saw an interesting piece about an award-winning academy director named Brian Grazer. Said he was a failing student as a child, but his grandmother encouraged him to ask questions and develop curiosity. Go, Grandma. And what he has done for the last 30 years, he makes appointments with people that he considers expert in their field. Sometimes it takes him a year to get that appointment. But, you know, he usually just has an hour. So obviously he has to prepare. So he talks to them, wants to know, what made you do this work? How did you start this company? You know, what are your connections? What are your keys? And because he wanted to learn. So he has amassed all these stories and wisdom because he pursued it. Now, we get in habits and ruts, don't we? How many of you sit in pretty much the same spot every Sunday? Yeah. We do. We get in these ruts. I have this cartoon. You won't be able to see it, but I used to use this a lot when I taught communication to volunteers, and it's Peanuts. And woof, woof. What's that supposed to mean? I don't know. It's just something everyone in our family always says. And that's what we do. We just kind of say the same things. We greet each other the same way. Boring. I like to visit other churches because, you know, I'll have a theme and a style. And so you get a greater perspective of the body of Christ when you are with other people, because we tend to pray the same, use the same phrases. And that's not all bad. That's what families do. But try not to get into ruts. Pardon? Thank you. Erwin McManus is a marvelous writer, and he's talking about how we perceive things. He says, we are interpreters. This is the way we are designed. We are translators of meaning, and thus everything we see, hear, smell, touch, taste, and experience is processed through all our previous experiences and perceptions. We don't see people for who they are. We see them through the filter of everyone we've ever known. We don't see circumstances as they are. We see them through the filter of everything we've experienced. Every experience is interpreted by the overarching story of our lives, and those experiences give us greater clarity. You know, if I say, is anybody's name Gertrude in here? I don't mean anything personal here, but let's just use the word Gertrude. Now, okay, this is the scenario. Gertrude annoyed you in school. And if I come up to you, and I've just met you, and I say, hi, my name is Gertrude. Well, guess what? I got a little negative going against me right there, because I'm filtering it through that. I'm not seeing, that person's not seeing me, that I'm a different Gertrude. I'm not the one that you didn't like. You see how that works? Yeah, we do that. We kind of do it subconsciously, but we do it. And sometimes, I read this word somewhere and I loved it. It said, we need different perspectives. So here's my perspectives. You all really do look different now. Yeah. It's just a different way to see things, so we can see things as they are. So how do we start these conversations? The biggest thing is we don't listen. We listen to reply, or we listen with an agenda. Well, I'm not listening, but I'm going to wait till you take a breath, and then I'm going to inject my agenda. You know, two of my grandchildren, this is when they were about 6 and 8, and they were both wanting to tell me a story at the same time. And Montana's just going on and on and on. She's the older one. And Micah got so frustrated. She says, Montana, take a breath. Because she wanted to talk. And so we have to listen. There's a Chinese character for listen. And it looks something like that. And included in this symbol is ear, heart, and with effort. There's a lot involved there. Ear, heart, and effort. That's what is needed in all of this. The highest level of listening requires that you hold your opinions and judgment. Communicating at this level requires energy as well. Now, I used to go into a lot of homes. Some of them were gorgeous. They were on a lake. They had every amenity you could imagine, and it was wonderful to be there. Actually, the first day that I worked as a volunteer for years, and then I became the bereavement coordinator, so I had to go to the homes. The first day I officially did that, in the morning, I went to Apple Valley, where all these beautiful homes, and it was a lakefront home. It was gorgeous. In the afternoon, I went to a home. It was quite the opposite. When I walked in, it reeked of urine. It was awful. And the woman, we had not had her father but a day or so. We didn't know much about her. I would say there were some issues with her mentally and physically. And I started to ask a couple questions. I tried not to interrogate people. That you don't gain their trust that way. But I just began slowly and asked regular questions, and I was going nowhere. And it was miserable being in this environment. But I thought, I have to connect with her. What can I do? Well, it was early December, and I saw that she had a stack of Christmas cards that she had addressed. I thought, okay, I'm going to go there. So I said, wow, you're right on the ball. You've got these all prepared. I said, I've only sent out a couple to South America. Well, that triggered something in her. She starts going through these magazines, and she pulls out a magazine that was about hummingbirds in South America. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, so for a few minutes, we connected. But we had to find something. And so there were these contrasts all the time, and you just have to find a way to get there. Lori Beth Jones, who is another favorite author of mine, she says, why is listening a form of surrender? And why is surrender a form of listening? That's something you got to chew on a little bit. So what keeps you from talking to people that you don't know well or strangers? Self. You're more concerned about you. That's how the Holy Spirit helps. You know, if you're in sales, you got to get over that, don't you? Or you're not going to have any sales. But knowing how to communicate is just a basic skill that we need to help our children learn. We could help our grandchildren. You know, simple things like making eye contact. And I'm really big on eye contact. There are some cultures where you don't do that, and I would struggle big time. But my grandchildren already make wonderful eye contact, and that's important. But usually we're embarrassed. We feel like we might be rejected. What if I say the wrong thing? Sometimes you will. I used to tell the volunteers this story. When I was volunteering, I went to the home of a gentleman who was blind. He was a big man, bitter man. He'd not always been blind. He had been in a serious car accident, was hospitalized, and the hospital, for whatever reason, overlooked the need for his eye medication. So he lost his sight. And he was very angry, which we can understand. And he was abusive, verbally abusive to his wife. Well, I went there to relieve her, and I just walked over to his bed. And I said, good morning, Harold. I'm really glad to see you. And I thought, not a good word. And he said, well, I can't see you. I don't even know what you look like. And I just blurted out, well, I look like Marilyn Monroe. He did just what you're doing. He laughed. And the ice was broken. And we had a good conversation after that. So that boo-boo turned into something good. But my kids love that story. So I finally said, well, maybe I should fess up and tell you I'm short. And I had brown hair then. But anyway, but it ended up being a fun thing. And there are lots of ways that we do communicate. Our presence, touch. Sometimes we have to be careful about touching. If there's been abuse, touch can be pretty sensitive. And I had a volunteer in training in a class, and she'd asked me at the break about something, and she had her PhD. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? You've got all the knowledge and the goods. You could get that resource. You could write that resource. And I just tapped her gently on the shoulder. And she says, well, why don't you go to hell? And I went, excuse me, but I don't think I will. And So we had to begin again, and I asked her to come in to my office the next day. And I said, you know, you can't respond, you can't react to people like that in the home. And that was very inappropriate. Now, what's the story behind it? She was abused severely by both parents. And touch to her was not a good thing. So sometimes that's where Holy Spirit is our guide. So some people long for touch, and others is like, stay away. You know, we communicate through tears, laughter, sharing a meal, prayer, eye contact, notes, our body language. You know, if I'm like, yeah, whatever. Am I doing well at listening? Probably not. I see Donald Trump doing this sometimes. There's certain occasions he's got his arms folded. Okay. He's not budging right there. So there's so many ways that we can do that. How we greet one another. You know, my sister, when she moved back from California, she says, everybody in Knox County responds this way. You ask them how you are. I'm just so busy. So busy is one word. I'm just so busy. And we do that. So I talked a little bit about this Friday night, about ways that we could change how we greet one another. You know, what made your week memorable? You know, maybe it was a really hard week. But there was something in there. And maybe the difficulty was memorable. But in there, God's in there. How is he faithful to you? How did you see him work on your behalf? You know, make each other aware of those things. Did anything make you want to praise God? Did anything make you want to stay away from God? Were you angry? What happened? Did God wink at you? You know how he gives you those little surprises and you're like, wow, that is so cool. You know, when you ask children how their day was, you know, they're going to say, good, mostly. But I remember asking my granddaughter, she was in fifth grade and just started band. And her parents were separated. And she was just having a hard time as a fifth grader. And so she got in the van and I said, so how did it go today? Okay. I said, did you learn any new notes in band? No. And then there was this pause for about 30 seconds, and all of a sudden she said, grammar, I almost forgot. Today we all played our note at the same time, and it was amazing. Oh my goodness, that was a treasure to me, you know, but I made her think about it. And that pause, she was going back and thinking, what was good? So cause each other to think a little bit. You know, in a church setting, notice what's happening during greeting time. Some don't want to get up and greet. I've had people tell me, I hate that part of the service. Now, if you're a hugger and a greeter, you love that part. So just be sensitive to those things. Look at what someone wears. Now, this is the conversation starter. And sometimes I do this on purpose, you know, because it does generate some conversation. But, you know, do they like bling? Do they like flannel? You know, that can tell you a little bit about them. What about their body? Tattoos, piercings, prosthetics, medical bracelets, scarves to cover loss of hair. All of those are keys that we can pay attention to. If you go into a home, like I said, I would go in cold turkey. I knew very little about this family. And so I would scan the room real quick. Okay, are there any collections here? What kind of books are on the coffee table? You know, and ask them about those things. You know, I had one older man. He was so sweet. He answered the door crying. I thought, oh, boy. And he just missed his wife so much. And he had all these beautiful African violets, and they were in bloom. And I mentioned that, and I said, wow, these are lovely. I said, my grandfather used to raise these. He goes, yeah, but a lot of them died, too. Okay, that one didn't work. So I scanned for something else. But you can pick up a lot of clues by people. if you pay attention. You have to be a good communicator. You need to be a noticer. Notice things. Pick up on the clues. It's like detective work. And that's kind of how I went on that job. I said, okay, today I got to figure out some puzzles. What can I learn? And one of the biggest things for me is getting over the shyness and talking to people. There are amazing people out there and stories. They have something to offer me. I have something to offer them if I take the time. You have worth. You all have stories that you can share. My brother-in-law used to tell his congregation, said, you need to be able to tell your testimony. Do a 5-minute version, maybe a 15-minute version, and if you have time, a 30-minute version. Get that set in your mind. If you are presented with an opportunity to tell people how God transformed your life, you need to be able to articulate that. Because that gets someone's attention. And so that takes a little preparation, a little practice. But it's good. You know, if someone turns the conversation that way, I can tell them. Going back to Facebook, 40 years ago, we ministered in a little town in Missouri called Higbee. I hated that town because it was so unfriendly. I tried and tried to connect with these people. It was a very close-knit, suspicious, fearful group of people. And nothing worked. But, you know, we were there a couple years. They all loved Joe because he had worked there previously as a Mormon livestock feed salesman. So the farmers all thought he was great, but I didn't matter. I had 2 young kids. I would go home on Sundays and cry because people wouldn't talk to me. And so I called it Nineveh, but that worked for me. I didn't want to be there, and I rejoiced the day we got to leave there. Fast forward 40 years, I'm Facebook friends with several of these people. One of them recently contacted me. She's a widow. And she says, oh, I'm so glad to find you again. When I found out that Joe died, I have prayed for you so many times. I went, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. That really touched me. And then another young woman, she would have been a teenager at the time. She would send me private messages because a family member was going through some mental health crises. And she says, would you pray? And this happened 2 or 3 times in the last couple of years. Well, not very long ago, she sends me another one late at night. Oh, we got this crisis again. Could you pray? And I'm sitting there at the computer thinking, okay, Holy Spirit, what do I do here? And he said, just type out a prayer. So I did that. There's, you know, a few minutes. She writes back, can I ask you a question? What kind of church do you go to? So I tell her, I go to Spirit-Filled Church. Yeah, but you have something I don't have. How do I get what you have? So I get to type that out. How you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was a seed that took 40 years to grow to that stage. Thank you, Jesus. You know, all that angst that I had as a young mom, it paid off. She says, and I watch what you post, and you're different. Once again, thank you, Jesus. You know, people pay attention. Even though we're not face to face, she has been watching and watching and watching. She said, you pray different than other people I know. And then 2 days later, she sends me another one. What kind of music should I be listening to that would help me? I mean, she's like that sponge, drinking it all in. So use social media for good things. Not that I never post anything goofy, but because I do. And watch for busy signals. Like, I'm going to look at my watch because I'm almost out of time. You know, if we're talking to somebody and they're like, or looking at their phone, those are signals. Your time's not worth my time. And I'll just be moving on. Or they change the subject. Or the voice changes. All right. Let me see. Okay, what do I have? 5 minutes? Or I'm one. Okay. What? Okay. All right, let me pick and choose real quick. Okay, my notes got messed up last night because I was trying to reduce this and I went to print it out. My printer became terminal. So, all right, I'm going to tell you, I was talking to my friend Marilyn, who's with me today. This is a very creative way to communicate with people. Grandma Lutz, she was a senior citizen that lived in Mansfield, and she enjoyed people. She had very limited means, and she would go to garage sales and buy, you know, nice-looking clothes so she looked nice. And she had this warm smile. You just wanted to talk to her. She was like a grandma. And she would go every day to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee or to the hospital in the lobby. And she would just sit and watch people and quietly pray or say something like, "Wow, you look so good in that color. You look tired. Is everything okay?" And if she had opportunity, she would pray for him. Now, here's a woman with very little means, but she uses it all for the good. And I read about another senior citizen from Akron, and she was a widow. And every year at Christmas, she would develop a different theme that had to do with Jesus. It could be Jesus as king, Jesus as teacher, Jesus as a miracle worker. And she picked about 5-10 different things. And she'd invite families to come in and see her tree. And she'd tell them the story of Jesus. See, God has given us creativity, wisdom, and he expects us to use these things. So become a little more creative when you talk to one another. Don't just say, "How you been?" "Oh, so busy." "Just so busy." No, we're about the kingdom. We're to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Life is to be flowing out of us. And, you know, as pastor, you know this. You don't have to ask who read the Bible this week. You know who read the Bible because life is oozing out of them. Pray in the Spirit. I can tell you, when you pray in the Spirit diligently, every day you're going to get an opportunity. Everywhere you go, they just pop up more than ever because you're prepared. You're strengthened in the Lord. So I urge you to do that. Use the creativity he's given you and speak to one another differently. So right now, everybody stand up. Most everybody is seated beside someone. Just turn to somebody and greet them differently than you normally would. You two can't get gushy. No mushy stuff. All right. Hello. Okay. Turn back this way a minute. Everybody, hello. You're so busy talking, I can't hear you. Okay, time's up for now. You can do that again in a minute. Okay. All right, you may stand up, and I want you to put your hand on your heart. No, don't put it on your heart. Put it on your ears. Everybody, if you're able, put your hands on your ears. And then I'm just going to pray this over you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these wonderful saints. And I thank you that their hearts are towards you and that they want to learn. They're eager to learn. So, Lord, I pray that you would unstop their ears, that they would be attentive to listen. I pray that they would see things and see how you see people and speak life where there's weariness. I pray that they would realize that you awaken them morning by morning to teach them that they have the tongue of a disciple, that they can make a difference in the world. We thank you now, especially during the Christmas season when there's so much hustle and bustle, that they will be attentive and they will listen, and they will give value to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.